Thank y'all for coming this morning to growth class. We're growing, aren't we?
Yes.
Man, we've been growing and growing and growing. So we're going to continue on in our book. But let's open up in prayer. Father God, we just honor you and magnify you and thank you for just this opportunity that is presented before us today to come together to fellowship with each other, fellowship with your word, fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and we just thank you for the opportunity to learn. You know, Lord, it's in my heart that revelation knowledge would flow this morning. As it does, it'll change our thinking. It'll change how we look at things. It'll change our heart. And so we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to just talk to us this morning, to speak to us, bring that revelation that we have so much need of. And we just thank you that when revelation comes, it just opens up the eyes of our understanding and we'll see clearer just what is rightfully ours. We're really just studying. We're studying this morning from your word what is rightfully ours as a believer. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, by the finished work of the cross. And we just receive it with thanksgiving in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're doing the chapter on activating angels. On the wrong page. We're going to, we read part of this last Sunday, but I want to just reread it. It's page 124, The Truth About Angels, because that'll kind of get our mind working and flowing where we need to go. It says, some of you may have the impression that angels look like little babies dressed in white togas flying about with bows and arrows. And you know what? There are people. I probably thought that at one time when I first got saved. You know, I didn't know any different, any better. Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21 tells us a little bit about what they're actually like. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. And I had written out from that, I put his pleasure is his word. And so, you know, this gives us a wonderful explanation of angels. And, you know, angels are ours. We benefit from them. They work on our behalf as believers. From this psalm, we know that angels are strong. They excel in strength. Do you know how strong angels can be? When so-and-so, the evil king of Assyria, laid a siege around Jerusalem, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent one angel to the Assyrian camp. Just one angel. And one night, do you know what happened? The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Here's something else about angels. They do his word. They do not operate outside the boundaries of God's word. I hope y'all have been meditating on that or at least thinking about it. They do not operate outside the boundaries of God's word. And in a couple pages, he expounds on that even more. What does God's word in Psalms 91, 11 through 12 say about the Lord's instructions to his angels? For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The Lord has given his angels charge over us. The New Living Translation says that the Lord will order his angels to protect us wherever we go. I really like that. But you know, the Lord will order his angels to do that, but we're going to learn. It depends upon what's coming out of our mouth. Yep, it depends upon what's coming out of our mouth. It doesn't just happen. The Amplified Version says that his angels will accompany and defend and preserve you in all of your ways. He says, I don't know about you, but that gives me such assurance that I am covered under his wings of refuge and protection. The Word of God also tells us that when the archangel Lucifer fell, one-third of the angels fell with him. Do you know what that means? It means that two-thirds of the angels are still on God's side. There are more angels with God fighting on our side than there are on the devil's side. That's good news, isn't it?
They're the losing side.
They're the losing side. Always have been. And always will be. But you know what? As believers, we have the responsibility to enforce that. That doesn't just happen, you know. And I believe as we come closer to the return of Jesus, that's going to become a greater revelation to the body of Christ of just the authority that we have to stand in, and it's our responsibility. Hebrews 12:22 tells us of an innumerable company of angels. There are so many angels that they cannot be numbered. We may not be able to see them, but they're all around us ministering for us. So don't be one of those believers who are more conscious of demons than angels. I've been there, done that. I can remember as a young believer. Don't you remember Trisha telling the story? She said she got so on fire when she got saved. You know, she said she would cast devils out of doorknobs. You know, it was just. And I think we went through that time. Do y'all think so? Those of you been at this for a while, when that was the emphasis, you know, that we have authority and anyway. Remember, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I have to give y'all, thank y'all for bearing with me and allowing me to do this because it's a testimony. I traveled down interstate again yesterday. And, I mean, God's just doing it, and I just said, thank you, Father, there's more for me than there is against me. And, it's taking care of a fear that, you know, I have dealt with and entered somehow, someplace, at some time in my life. And that protection, you know, is there. And we all deal with fears in different areas. Do we not? I mean, I don't know of nobody that don't have no fears. Do you all? And I think, you know, God's, what he's doing here is helping us to realize that we're protected. You know, wherever we go and whatever we do, that's our birthright as believers. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Roman soldiers came to arrest our Lord, Peter, in his zeal, attacked the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. I love this part here. I really do. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its place. Do you suppose that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will immediately provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Can you see him saying that to him? Do you not think that, you know, I cannot do this? My friend, Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. And we know that, but there was something about reading this for me that just really ministered to me. You know, Jesus allowed himself. He could have done that. He could have appealed to his Father. You know, and I think that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, it was not my will, but your will be done. There was a real battle going on in his heart to be obedient. My friend, Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. He had more than 12 legions of angels at his disposal. According to the Amplified Translation, 12 legions is more than 80,000 angels. Man, you know, I really pray that we get a picture. We really get a revelation of the angels that we have that work on our behalf, and how we can cooperate with helping them, giving them the go ahead, put them to work. You know, put them to work. We should have the desire every morning when we get up. You know, we're going to speak the word, pray the word, speak the word, confess the word, whatever. However you want to say that, and knowing that, man, we got angels working on our behalf today, not only just for us, but for our family members and for whoever God gives you, you know, to pray for that day, and that they're angels and they're working and keeping us and watching over us and ministering to us and that kind of thing. All he had to do was pray and those angels would have been activated. But he did not do so that night because he had already chosen to go to the cross and to die the death that we deserved. He gave up his protection so that today you and I can claim all the promises of his protection. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. And as joint heirs with Christ, Each one of us can summon 12 legions of angels. Wow. Wow. The keeping power. The keeping power. I was thinking the keeping power of the blood of Jesus. Don't you think when you plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over whatever situation, that loses angels? Because they'll heed the voice of our word that we speak out of our mouth when it's the word of God. Worshiping the Lord activates angels. Beloved, we have a source that is greater than any attack the devil can launch against us. Would you like to know how you can activate angels in your life? And he said, the most important key is worship. This brought a refreshing to me about this. I think I had kind of laid that one down. As you offer your praise to the Lord, that's when angels, look at this, are most active. You know, I saw something on my phone. I think it might have been YouTube. I'm not sure. Y'all familiar with Lauren Daigle? Is that how you say it? Y'all familiar with her? She's a Christian singer that has, I mean, with that one song, You Say, has won all kinds of awards. And you hear it being played in lots of different places. I heard it on America's Got Talent the other night. They were playing it as a background music. She has really gave her that song, obviously, and it's really ministering to a lot of people, even in the secular realm. But I caught something where she was in, I believe it was Vancouver, Canada, and she was doing a concert. And it was a beautiful concert hall. It wasn't very large. It's kind of pretty intimate type of a situation. And I don't remember the heading, but, you know, when they go in to do a concert, I'm sure they've got a list, you know, of songs that they're going to be doing and sharing with the people. But she said, did anybody see this besides me? Okay. Well, she said, we're going to do something a little different. She said, I sense something. And she said, do you all know the song, We Exalt You? And she started, yeah, it was a wow moment. She started leading them in that. I mean, it gives me cold chills sitting here. Because, I mean, it was just like, you could sense that the presence of God just went shoo into that room. And there was such a flow, and the people just connected with it. And there was this guy that played a horn, and at one point he played that on an instrument. And I'm getting to a point here. And so, I mean, it was just tremendous. And it you know, I like her. She's not my most favorite person I like to listen to in song, but my respect for her went up tremendously. Because you could tell she was not there for just to do a concert. And you could tell it was really ministering to the people. And, you know, really what they were having was a praise and worship opportunity. Of course, her songs, a lot of them will take you into that place of worship. But as I was reading this, my thoughts went back to that. And I thought, God, you know, if our eyes, watching that, or if they could have just seen in the spirit realm what that did. Legions of angels. I thought about when we do praise and worship on Sunday. There's that corporate anointing. Now, we have our own personal time of worship. You know, and that's very important. But I believe very much in the corporate setting. It brings such an increase of anointing. You can read about it in the book of Acts, especially, when people gathered together and they prayed. Miraculous things happen. Well, what is worship? It's a form of prayer. And so I say, God, you knew when that concert was going on, that for whatever was going on, that there would be angels, but there was just brought a magnitude, I felt like, in. And that people their lives were just changed. Does that make any sense? I feel like I'm going around in a circle here. But it was like, it refreshed to me just that place of coming together and worshiping with other believers. Just how important, you know, how not just important, how powerful that is. It's powerful, people. I mean, legions of angels and working on behalf of the people that are there and worshiping and working on behalf of just what God was wanting to do in that situation. So thank you for letting me share that with you. I didn't ask you. You didn't tell me not to. But it was just something to behold. It really was. And it brought a hunger to me to be in that corporate setting. And actually, it stirred up in me to take more time in my own personal life. You know, you get away from things. You get busy or you just get something, I don't know. And you forget. So this was a stirring up for me. And even the song, I Exalt You, I hadn't heard that in a long time. And it reminded me of Psalm 69, I believe it says, Oh, magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Exalt means to magnify. And you know what the enemy likes for you to do? Magnify how big how bad everything is. Angels don't respond to that. I've heard people say they sit and they fold their arms. Now, I don't know that if it goes to that degree. I just know that it doesn't activate them to work on my behalf. But man,
what song?
I Exalt You. We Exalt Thee.
The one that doesn't activate.
Excuse me? It's when you're complaining and you're magnifying the situation around you and whatever. And you know what? The more you talk about it, what happens? Tell me what happens. Bigger it gets.
Yeah, the bigger it gets.
And then, you know, it doesn't activate your angels. Are we reading this right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we turn it, and man, sometimes it's hard because those circumstances are right here. And sometimes it's hard, but you know, you say, okay. You start praising and worshiping the Lord. And it changes lots of things. It says Psalms 34:7. Well, let's back up. As you offer your praise to the Lord, that's when angels are most active. How do you feel about that statement? I mean, this is a statement he says. The most important key is worship. As you offer your praise to the angels, that's when angels are most active.
As you offer to the Lord.
Excuse me?
As you offer to the Lord, not to the angels.
Did I say to the angels?
Yes.
Oh, okay. As you offer your praise to the Lord, that's when angels are most active. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that what that does is it gets it off of you as far as get your eyes on the Lord. It helps you. Because if you stay self-centered, then that's when your fear is elevated.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's when your fear is elevated. And that's what the enemy wants us, where he wants us to be. So we're given a tool here. We're giving a key, an answer. The angel, and he gives a scripture for this, Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and he delivers them. Fear here is worship. And we know that. We know that. When it talks about fearing the Lord, it means worshiping Him. So, what happens? The angel of the Lord, they, just for the example, you know, that concert that she was at, she was leading people in that worship, that specific song. I believe she's being led by the Spirit of God. It brought in the angel of the Lord to encamp all around them. Wow. So, this morning, when we go into praise and worship, you know, this stirs. Does this not stir you up a little bit?
Yes,
it stirs
does.
Me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going in, I'm releasing my faith. Hey, the angel of the Lord's going to camp all around about us. We're going to get the assistance of angels today to minister. Man, you know, I hope this impacts my heart, my life enough that when I come in, you know, each Sunday when I come into corporate worship and praise, that, you know, I'm going to put a, you have to put demands on things. You put a demand on the Word of God. And I know demand is a strong word, but you know, we're being wimpy if we don't. Because this is our right as children of God. He made this provision for us to assist us and to help us and so on and so forth. And so, we put demand on things. You know, God likes that. He says, you decree and declare a thing and it shall be established. And so it's like decreeing and declaring when I go into praise and worship today. For me, Lord, I want for everybody there, but if nobody else wants it, I'll take it. But you know what? It'll cause things. It'll cause things to happen. It's not just come in, man, I'm... And here our praise and worship leaders are sitting right here. But it's not come in, just sing a little tune and go home. It has a purpose. It has a purpose. Just like we pray. Isn't that interesting? We pray, we praise, and we worship. And then we have the word. It's like, you know, it's a preparation. Prayer is preparation. Praise and worship is preparation to receive the word, to receive what the Spirit of God has for us. There is always a flow to a service. There's always a flow. Trisha taught us that. If you sat in many services here at Christian Growth Center, well, Pastor Rob did too, but if you sat in hardly any services at Christian Growth Center, you can realize that if you're welcoming the Spirit of God, there's always a flow. And sometimes the flow changes. It'll go on a different, you know, but if you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, there will always be a flow. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit knows the people that are coming in. He knows what they have need of. He knows what they've cried out to Him for. And you know what? Then we respond to that. But the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, worship Him, and what? Delivers them. Our Lord Jesus defined fear as worship for us. When Satan tempted Him in the wilderness, He responded by quoting a verse in Deuteronomy that says, "You shall fear the Lord your God." But He changed the word fear to worship and said to the devil, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God." Beloved, when you worship the Lord, His angels camp all around you, surrounding you to deliver you. I want you to encourage you to spend time worshiping the Lord. If you're going through a difficult period in your life and are fearful, choose to worship Him. There's a key word right there. Choose. It's not always easy to do. But my goodness, how powerful. Fear fills our hearts when we are occupied with ourselves. That's really what Kelvin said. But when we worship the Lord, we become occupied with Him. It really does change our focus. We become occupied with His beauty and His goodness, and His angels surround us like a protective shield. You know, this is so much. This is just so much.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
The Lord just showed me something. When I was a little girl, I grew up really hard. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try not to get emotional.
It's okay.
We got tissues. I grew up really hard, and it was really hard in my household, and it was fighting all the time, and it was scary, and you didn't know from one day to the next what was going to happen. And I remember there was times that I would be so burdened as a child, and I would go in my room, and I would cry. And we didn't go to church. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went a little, but it wasn't... We weren't apart.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that. And I probably I was a survivor, and I was a strong kind of kid, and so my cousin, they didn't really like me very much, so I did not have a safety net. But I remember going into my bedroom, and there was times that I just thought, I'm going to explode, I'm going to die. I can't, I don't know what to do, and I would cry. And I would pray, the only way I knew to pray. And only till right now, sitting here, do I realize why my life was a miracle like it was, and why I could be so pressed down, but after I would spend a little time crying out to God, everything would lift off of me.
Isn't that something?
And I'd walk out of my bedroom a different person. I never understood what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew I prayed, but I didn't know the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that because I prayed is why that lifted off of me like it did.
Isn't that something?
I would walk out of there completely free.
Wow.
And I was a kid.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I'm more just...
Yeah.
I've had angels around me my whole life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just protected me. Because I've been through a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of scary stuff.
Really?
I should be alive. If it hadn't been for angels, I wouldn't even be alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what it brought my thoughts to? It's the heartfelt prayer of a righteous person that causes tremendous power to be available, dynamic, and it's working. Okay, you prayed, you knew Jesus, so that made you righteous. And you prayed heartfelt prayers. You know? I mean, you didn't pray any fancy, religious.
No.
I'm sure it was, God, help me, you know, help me survive, get me out of here, just give me strength. Those are those heartfelt prayers. Man, if we can ever get free of religious praying certain things, certain ways, however, you know, I've learned that prayer is very powerful. It's a very powerful prayer, and it's one that God responds to. And as a child, you didn't know anything other than to pray, thank God, really, and delivered you.
I understand my kids, little kids kill themselves, my teenagers, if they don't have a clue how to do that, how to cry out, how to...
Right.
But see, there's so many things that kids can go to distract them.
Yeah.
We didn't have all that.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything, so...
And that's what's happening.
Yeah, it pulls them away from the one thing that can help them.
And that's the attack. And that brings to remembrance... something that someone, a young person told me that is happening in the schools. I might share this today, Operation School Guard. I was shocked by this. What the kids are doing now, this is a high school and middle school situation, is the thing to do now is they get depressed and oppressed and whatever, and they're calling it mental whatever, and... they're being picked up at school and taken to mental places. Being picked up at school.
Is the school orchestrated?
I don't know. I can get some clarity on that. But this is what they're wanting. And I actually saw something on... Twitter from the superintendent of Montgomery County Schools that they're considering offering mental health wellness days for the children. The mental thing has become very big. Very big. The thing is, I'm depressed, I want medication, and I want to go to counseling. And now they've added, you know, I want to go straight. I don't even go home. I'm having a bad day or whatever. You know, I don't know all of this, but I don't even want to go home. Take me to a mental facility. Can you see how the attack on young children has increased and intensified? And they have the things now. They have, like you said, you didn't have as a child. They have things to help them cope with. I mean, you know, that I know from my own granddaughter, my older granddaughters, that's the thing is, you know, I want to take antidepressants. I remember, and I don't mind, Tim wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. One of his daughters was having, one of the twins was having a really hard whatever situation. And she said, I need something to help me get through, a pill. And he looked at her and he said, basically, he said, suck it up. That's what he told her. He said, young lady, this is a part of life. You got to learn how to deal with it. And a pill is not an answer. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying, I'm not an advocate of never taking anything for depression, because I have in my lifetime when I needed it. And but, you know, he didn't let her go into that because he saw the pattern. He's in the school system. He sees the pattern. That's it. You have a bad day and you have enough bad days. I mean, it's like join a club. I'm serious. A lot of it, you know, that's what they're doing. They're taking, this is their way out. See, your way out was you went and you prayed, Jesus. And it's another tool of the enemy to take Jesus out of the picture. And it's like, this is the avenue that you need to take. And you know what? And she worked through it. She was fine. She worked through it. Thank God. You know, he said that to her. But anyway.
I'm sure the school system is there. I think we'd be shocked at how many suicides are in the county.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure the school system is thinking, let's head this off, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking at it from a world of what answers they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's happening here, the school system is trying to do what the parents need to be doing. Yeah, the parents don't have time. Now, I'm not saying they're across the board, but that is in lots of situations. You know, and I'm not here to criticize or be an advocate of one way or another. My point I'm trying to make is the attack has increased. Let's just see where this is coming from. The attack has increased. And so, but you're right. And thank you for sharing that. I'm glad God gave you some revelation of why it was the keeping power of God in your life. And, well, anyway, I'll stop with that. Thank you, Jan, very much. Where are we at? Let's go down. Angels heed the voice of his word. The next key that I want to share with you about activating God's angels is the importance of speaking or declaring the word of God. Psalms 103:20 tells us that angels heed the voice of his word. Who gives voice to God's word? We do. Every time you quote scriptures out loud, you're giving voice to his word and angels will respond. When you say, Father, I thank you that no evil shall befall me today, nor shall any plague or disease come near my dwelling. Angels hearken to the voice of the word of God being spoken. Angels cannot read your mind, so speak forth his word. You know, he emphasized this earlier in some chapter. Angels cannot read our mind. I want to encourage you to study the word of God and memorize a few verses. When you feel swamped by fear, learn to speak out God's word. And you know, as I read this next sentence, I said, God, help me a revelation of this for me personally. God's power lies dormant until I speak it forth. That is such a profound statement. His power lies dormant until I speak it forth. Have you ever been in a situation and you've just thought, why are things not changing? Why is God not moving? I mean, I have, and it's like, and then I think, what's coming out of my mouth? I mean, do y'all believe that or not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you do, when you speak it forth, it becomes real and powerful in your situation and comes against whatever you might be facing. Now, I know when he's sharing about this, he is talking about declaring certain verses out of Psalms 91. But just think about this. You're praying for someone, and you're, let's say they're in some kind of a situation, But when you pray and you say, Father God, I thank you that you're so-and-so's refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Okay. You're sending that word out. What does that do? Angels take hold of that word. You know? And they start working on helping them in that situation. Is that not how this... Is this how this works? You know? I've shared this one with you. Proverbs 11:21 that says the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Who do you know is in trouble? The seed of the righteous. You know? They shall be delivered. When I say that over whatever situation, you know, and I particularly, you know, anyway, what does that do? That sends angels. They're working. They're bringing deliverance. But you know what? If I don't open up my mouth, you know, between doing this and praying in the Holy Ghost, I mean, how could we not win? And the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. You know, we've been given everything. It's bought, paid for. We don't have to earn anything. It's ours. But God's power lies dormant until I speak it forth. Wow. When I do, it becomes real and powerful and the situation comes against whatever I might be facing. Hebrews 1:14 says that God's angels are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Notice it doesn't say minister to, but minister for. That's an interesting thought. Not just minister to, but minister for those who will inherit salvation. That, you know, he says, refers to the children of God, you and me. That's an important distinguishing. Minister for means they're waiting for our instructions. Wow. You know, and I've said I command angels to go forth and take care of so-and-so. But man, I'm learning when I take the word, let it come out of my mouth. I'm being very specific with their instructions. They're waiting to respond to our words. It says we need to speak to activate them. They're waiting to respond to our words. They will not automatically look into every need that we have. You activate angels when you declare, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Trigger your heavenly army when you proclaim, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Our Lord Jesus himself demonstrated the importance of speaking aloud God's word in the wilderness when three times he said, it is written, and quoted God's word. I don't know about you, but I intend to speak forth God's word. What about us? We going to do that? Are y'all with me today? It puts responsibility over on us, doesn't it? Man, we've been waiting for God to do a lot of things, and he's just said, if you just open up your mouth, I'll just go right along with you. It turns it, you know. Open up your mouth, speak the word. It's going to lie dormant until you speak it forth. Any comment? We got 1 minute. Okay, there is a testimony, two testimonies on the next two pages. And I'm going to do this last part right here. And I hope you read those testimonies, the one about the vintage car that got in between. I said, my Jesus, that's just tremendous. And he finishes this chapter. My friend, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's praying Ephesians 1. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? I pray that like Elijah, you'll be able to see beyond what is in the natural realm and see the legions of angels that poise to minister for you. The Bible tells us that the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today we might not physically see angels, but we know they're here with us. The Lord has promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know what? You're in the middle of something. You know what? You speak that out of your mouth. Father, I thank you. You will never leave me and you'll never forsake me. What does that do? That loses angels to take care of and do whatever needs to be done. He has promised that his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Our confidence is not what we see, but in his promises that are everlasting. As you put your trust in the Lord, I pray you'll experience every blessing the Lord has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary.